From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carol Van Dam. The House of Representatives is expected to approve sweeping new financial regulations today. The 1,270-page bill has been the subject of heated negotiations since last year's financial meltdown. The House might still pass a few amendments today, including one that would scrap the creation of a new government entity for consumers. The latest numbers from the Commerce Department show people are beginning to break open their wallets again. Retail sales rose by a better-than-expected 1.3% last month, the second straight monthly gain. Economist Nigel Galt says there are some big winners.
Electronic sales did extremely well. There could be a lot of flat panel TVs being bought there. Online sales seem to do well. In addition, furniture and clothing both were down on the month.
In another sign the recovery is stabilizing, companies slightly increased their inventories in October after 13 straight months of declines. While the climate change conference in Copenhagen tries to find ways to reduce global warming, in Brussels, European Union leaders made a big financial commitment to helping poor countries. But as Larry Miller reports, getting some countries to cough up wasn't easy.
The EU agreed to pay $3.6 billion in each of the next 3 years to help poor countries meet the challenges of climate change. This will be its contribution to a $10 billion annual global fund, British Prime Minister Gordon Brown.
We have to work together to provide sufficient finance so that our developing country partners can make the changes that are necessary in their climate change policies to benefit the whole world.
All 27 member states will commit cash to a short-term fund after 2 days of what were described as difficult talks. Smaller EU states resisted making a commitment during the recession. With unanimity essential, some countries' donations are thought to be token amounts. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said she's encouraging Latin American countries to think twice about cozying up to Iran. NPR's Michelle Kellerman has this report.
Secretary Clinton says she's aware of Iran's interest in building relations with Bolivia, Venezuela, and other countries in the Western Hemisphere, but she said countries in the region should look closely about what's happening in Iran, which she called the biggest promoter of terrorism in the world today.
I think that if people want to flirt with Iran, they should take a look at what the consequences might well be for them. And we hope that they will think twice, and we're going to support them if they do.
The Obama administration started the year by offering to engage Iran diplomatically, but is now trying to persuade countries around the world to impose sanctions on Iran to pressure Tehran to give up its nuclear ambitions. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Industrials are up 32 points to 10,438. The Nasdaq is down 8 to 2182. This is NPR News. 5 young American Muslims detained in Pakistan after trying to join a militant group near Karachi will most likely be deported back to the U.S. Pakistani authorities say the men told investigators they wanted to hook up with al-Qaeda-linked groups and plan to cross the border into Afghanistan and fight U.S. troops in the Afghan war. Pope Benedict today said he shares the outrage, betrayal, and shame felt by Irish Catholics over revelations of decades of child sex abuse by priests in Dublin. NPR's Silvia Pagioli has more from Rome.
The statement issued after a meeting at the Vatican with top Irish church leaders said the Pope was disturbed and distressed by the contents of a recent government report. That report revealed that the Roman Catholic Church and the police in Ireland covered up decades of child sex abuse by priests in a period that spanned the tenures of 4 different Dublin archbishops. The papal statement said Benedict will write a pastoral letter to the Irish people about sexual abuse in Ireland and the Vatican's response to the crisis. The 700-page government report said the Irish Church was concerned only with the maintenance of secrecy, the avoidance of scandal, the protection of the reputation of the Church, and the preservation of its assets. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, Rome.
South Carolina's First Lady has filed for divorce. Jenny Sanford says she and Governor Mark Sanford have been unable to reconcile their 20-year marriage after he publicly admitted to a lengthy affair this summer. They separated in early June, shortly before the governor told the media about his Argentine girlfriend. Jenny Sanford and the couple's 4 children live at the family beach house. Earlier, Mrs. Sanford had said she wanted to work on the marriage. I'm Carol Van Dam, NPR News in Washington.